Genesis chapter 6, and God willing, Brother Knapp will be back on duty next Sunday, and he is here with us, and but I only got halfway through this lesson, so I thought, well, maybe we'll try to finish this lesson today, God willing, and then he can have his rightful place as the teacher here in the adult class. We're glad they had a safe time on their holiday. Glad to have him back. Pray for Mrs. Cruz. She's not feeling well and is home today. Pray for her. Pray for the Tejadas. They're home today, not feeling well. And also, grandkids of Dr. Miksha aren't well. That's what I heard. So let's pray for them as well and others that might not be 100% today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have an opportunity now to open your word. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that we would just listen to your word, listen to what your spirit has for us, in Jesus' name, amen. It was actually several weeks ago that we taught this lesson because we had the missions conference last Sunday. The Sunday before that, we had a guest speaker as well. And so it's been 3 weeks since we began this lesson on the journey to Ararat. I thought I would just review the outline, Genesis chapters, chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. And we looked at, number one, we looked at the reason for the journey, and that was in verses 5 and 6, and it talked about the wickedness of man, and that his imaginations were evil continually, not just occasionally, continually. And then we saw in verses 7 and 8 that the Lord said he would destroy man, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in verse number 8. Letter A was a corrupt heart, so the reason for the journey to Ararat was corrupt hearts. And letter B was corrupt lives, and that is all we accomplished last time, was the first point. So we're going to jump into this and try to work our way through this, letting the Lord speak to our hearts. Number two in the outline is readiness for the journey. Readiness for the journey. Now, think about this. Before Noah built the ark, Noah made a very, very important decision. And in fact, it's a very important decision that we need to make every day. Here's what it was. He walked with God. He walked. In fact, I would submit to you today that that was even greater than building the ark. The reason why I think that is because if Noah hadn't walked with God, I'm not sure the request to build this floating device that he heard nothing, that he knew nothing about, would have been that easy for him to just oblige and build the ark if he didn't have a personal relationship, if he didn't have a walk with God. So, I liken it to this, that we don't know what God has for us down the road, next week, next year, next month, if we're all still here, or if he hasn't returned or called any of us home. The point is this, to be ready for what God has for us, today, walk with God. Today, read the Bible. Today, pray. Today, seek to be humble. And so I believe that we see Noah was prepared for this task before the task came. And I think that's a very simple thing, but also I believe it's a very important thing that we establish in our lives, if we haven't already, that our walk is important. Letter A, and that's what we're talking about, letter A, he was ready because of his walk. Look at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what's the next word, class? Walked. He walked with God. You know, you've probably heard that statement before somewhere. You need to have a good walk with God. You need to have a healthy walk with God. You need to have a daily walk with God. Well, we see here that Noah, he walked with God. And it was consistently walking with God. And I guess I ask myself this question, and I ask you today, what is our walk with God? What does our walk with God look like? Is it 5 minutes a day? I hope that I don't know, maybe some of you are newer Christians, and so I don't mean to be unkind, but I would hope that it's more than 5 minutes a day. You know, I learned this a long time ago, whatever you put into something is what you get out of it, right? 5 minute walk with God, I don't know how well that's going to function and help us when we have something that comes across our table like, hey, Turner, build an ark. What's an ark? In other words, living by faith takes a lot more than 5 minutes a day. Whatever your walk with God is, let's keep doing it, but let's try to increase that walk with God on a daily basis. And let's see what God has in store for each and every one of us. John 15, 3 and 4. Quickly, let's turn over there. John 15, 3 and 4. John 15, 3 and 4. Now ye are clean through the what? The word. You know, I asked somebody recently this question. Are you reading your Bible every day? You know, the best way to stay right with God is to stay in His Word. Because you know what the Bible reveals to me? It reveals to me things in my life that should not be there. Look, if this is a convicting book, do we agree that this is a convicting book? It is a convicting book. Now, it does a lot of other things besides convict, but that's one of the things it does. So if I know this is a convicting book and I have sin in my life, guess what? I'm not going to want to read this book. Why? Because it's convicting. Who likes conviction? Now, we like that God convicts us because it shows us that we are His children. It shows us that we are in the kingdom, if you will. But, you know, I don't look forward to God's chastening hand. I don't look forward to God's correction in the sense of it represents pain. Pride, my pride is broken, my pride is affected, and nobody likes that. Now, it's good for us. I'm not saying it's not good for us. What I'm saying, though, is when someone is living away from God, the last place we want to be is in our Bible because it convicts us. But notice he says, which I have spoken unto you, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Look at that next word there. Abide. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Can you follow this logic? Abide in me. Do you think we can follow that verse simply by coming to church on Sunday? And that's it? You know, abiding in Christ is every day, right? Abiding in Christ isn't just a religious exercise. I had the chance to share the gospel this week with someone who was here visiting for the missions conference, and I'm so glad they came. Very, very Catholic. I haven't met someone quite that Catholic in quite some time who was very dedicated and kept going back to things that this individual had learned. And I mean, in a sense, taught very well, but taught error very well. Right, but it's back to that tradition, and it's back to this or back to that when it comes to that. But no, the Christian life is a daily abiding. It's a daily walking in the Word of God. It's a daily digging into God's Word, and we see here that the Jesus says, "Because you cannot bear fruit without me, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." A Christian's life is not measured by how much he or she does, but by who we are. We must be before we can do. You know what we need to be? We need to be in God's Word. You know what we need to be? We need to be in prayer. We know what we need to be? Humble. Why? Because God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So, There was a readiness for the journey. Letter A, he was ready. Noah was ready because he walked with God. Secondly, letter B, look at verse 22. Who has Genesis 6:22? Can somebody shout it out and read it? Is that 6:22, Miss Anna? Okay, that was a good one too, though. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. 6:22, please. Wow, what word do you see there two times in that verse? Did. Right? That means, what does it mean? It means letter B, Noah was ready because of his will. And his will was obey God. Whatever God said, he did it. I mean, the Christian life, it's very complicated to when you think about all that Jesus did for us in the death, the burial, and resurrection. I mean, it was easy for us, but not easy for Christ. But you know, the Christian life is really quite simple. If we want to have victory, obey God. If we want to have defeat, nobody does. But if we want to have defeat, disobey God. It's one or the other. The Bible here says that Noah obeyed everything that God, now he wasn't perfect and we know that, but God honored Noah because of his obedient spirit. Now, I've said something about this earlier, but I want to reiterate it. This is something somebody taught me in my late youth or my teen years was. And here's what it is. Decide that you're going to obey before you have to decide to obey. Decide you're going to obey before you have to decide to obey. What does that mean? It means that, you know, I don't know what temptations are going to come my way in the next week. But I know this. I know that I have a weapon. This weapon is undefeated. Amen? The Bible is undefeated. Now, I'm not. I have a lot of losses on my record, sad to say. But the Bible is undefeated. It's the champion. When you pull this book out, when temptation comes, you have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You know what's going to happen? You're going to withstand temptation, which means this. I'm going to decide ahead of time to obey before I have to make that decision. Here it is. Obedience to God was not a decision that had to be made every time a new situation arose in his life. He decided long before that when God tells me something, I'm going to obey. You know what? That would help all of us here this afternoon. Maybe you've already made that decision, but let's make it anew and afresh. I'm deciding on the third day of November 2019 that when God directs me, I'm going to obey. And I'm going to obey with a good spirit. I remember obeying my parents without a good spirit many times. But it always was so much better to obey with a good spirit. So we see here that he was ready because of his will. How about Psalm 119, 105? It says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, God's word. Now, if you know a little bit about Noah's life, you know that not everyone that was around that construction project was helping, was cheering, great job, Noah! That's not what they were doing. In fact, it's very clear that there was reproach for obeying God. So let us not think for a moment that in 2019, it's any different. Many times, obeying God is not popular. Many times, obeying God will bring reproach. But again, is that what we're going to use to determine if we're going to obey God? It shouldn't be. We should, remember, we should decide to obey God before we have to decide to obey God. So he faithfully continued to obey. Noah's will was bent the right direction toward obeying God. That's what I want for my life. I'm here to tell you this afternoon that not every time is my will in line with God's will. Sometimes my flesh gets in the way of God's will. And that's not right. I'm not happy about that. I want to have a will that is always, God, what do you want? God, what do you want? And in my marriage, God, what do you want? In my child rearing, God, what do you want? In my Christian walk, in the community, in our jobs, amongst our families, some of us have, and I don't have here, but I have abroad, I have family that are lost. God, what do you want? Some of you have family here that are lost. God, I want to stand for you, God. I want to still love my family. Well, let me just help you. Honor your heavenly Father before your family. By the way, those don't have to be this way, but sometimes it will, especially if our family is lost, doesn't understand why we go to church, why we don't do certain things. It's very important. It's very important. Stand for truth. Noah's will was bent toward God. Number one, we're talking about the journey to Ararat. This is all surrounding the story of Noah and the ark. The journey to Ararat. Number two, so we have the reason for the journey, the readiness for the journey. Let's look at number three, the results of the journey. The results of the journey. Look in chapter number 6, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, Genesis 6, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I will destroy them with the earth. Now, do we not, we know today that our God is holy. Right? He's holy. He's absolutely perfect. I'm the opposite. I'm not holy. But because of God's grace, he gave us Jesus so that we could have a relationship with God. So when we got saved, we put on Jesus' holiness, righteousness, we call it. Now we have the opportunity to have that relationship with God because of Jesus' righteousness, not because of my righteousness. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we put on, I'll take questions there in the end, okay, Brother Todd? I will put on that robe of righteousness that was given to us at salvation. By the way, nothing I could do to earn it. I could only receive it by faith. Receiving it by faith. Now, as we see here in the flood, we see the holiness of God demands something. The holiness of God demands something. What is the wages of sin? Death. So the holiness of God demands judgment. That's why the scene at Calvary is so brutal. Why? I was reiterating this yesterday at a door to a Vietnamese gal named Nancy. Pray that she gets saved, would you, please, with me? I spent 30 minutes with sharing the gospel with her, and she was just taking it all in. What a great privilege it was. But I said, you know what, Nancy? The scene at Calvary was horrific. It was in the middle of the day. I said, kind of like right now, only it was a little bit later. It was so bright out yesterday. And all of a sudden, like right now, bright like this, all of a sudden, the day went black. Because I told her, I said, God demands holiness. He demands righteousness. And so because of the sins of Ben Turner and because of our sins all placed on Jesus Christ there on the cross, I mean, wow, the wrath of God was poured out on him right there on Calvary. What a horrific scene. There's nothing easy about the cross. So there's nothing easy about getting saved. It cost him everything. And it cost me nothing, literally. And so we see here, by the way, this is a great picture. We'll get to that in just a moment. But God always provides a way of escape. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I won't turn there, but you could jot that reference down. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And it says there that he will also make a way of escape. You know, God loved all those people in Genesis chapter 6. And God is merciful. And that's why God had Noah build the ark. Because God wanted man to have a chance to not be under his wrath. But we see that they chose to ignore the witness of God. So Noah's decision to build and enter the ark was obviously truly of the Lord. Letter A, it was built, the results of the journey. Letter A, the preservation of the people. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Here we see clearly displayed the grace of God. The grace of God. How was it seen? It was seen in Noah's warning of the coming flood. It was seen, secondly, in God's invitation to join Noah on the ark. And number three, it was seen in his provision for a way of escape. This ark was a way for those people that were there to avoid the coming judgment. What are we preaching today? That Jesus Christ is a way to escape the coming judgment. Look, God's judgment is coming to this earth. It's not going to be a pleasant thing. Those that reject God's provision, what's God's provision now? Who is God's provision? The Lord Jesus Christ. God's always providing a way for people to escape. Oh, if God were a God of love, why would God do thus and so? Look, God, sin came into the world. God gave man a free will. God even gave Adam and Eve a free will. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And because of that, death was passed upon all men. And today, no one in this world, no, I've never met anyone that had to be educated on how to sin. Because it's natural. We sin by choice and we sin by nature. But even with that, think of it, even with all of the heinous sin that I've done, that you've done, that the sinners have done from the beginning of time until now and will continue to do, God says, I love you so much that I have a way for you to escape my judgment. It's not the church. It's not our merit. It's Jesus Christ. Just like in Noah's day. Hey, everybody, hey, it's going to start. The judgment of God is coming, 120 years. Hey, there's going to be a flood. Yeah, whatever. Just like today we hear from people sometimes. Yeah, whatever, that's just your religion. Yeah, whatever. I'm just going to die and that's going to be the end of it. No, that's not going to be the end of it. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh, but we're here today making a clarion call. Hey, everybody, God loves you. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I mean, you think about it. We have the whole Bible to declare. Noah just had whatever God told him right then. He didn't have 66 books to preach from. He had the voice of God. That was it. I mean, that was enough, but I'm just saying. And so we see here that the same thing is happening. We're going to come to that in just a minute. So letter A, it was a preservation of the people. Look in verse number 9 of chapter 6. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Letter B, it was a preservation of the faith. A preservation of the faith. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, please. 2 Peter chapter 2. A preservation of the faith. Here we read in the New Testament a title that was given to Noah. Second Peter 2, verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved who? Noah, the eighth person. Here's his title. A preacher of righteousness. Pastor Noah. Preacher Noah. Didn't have a very receptive audience. Think about it. Noah got on board. Mrs. Noah got on board. His three sons got on board. Their wives got on board. So we only know of eight people that got on board. After all that preaching of righteousness. Wow. God offered the journey of grace to anyone who would follow him out of a heart of belief. What is Acts? What's the first word? Wait a minute, not the first word. And they said. What is the and they said? What is the fourth word of Acts 16:31? Starts with a B. Did somebody just say it? Believe. That's right. And they said, believe. Acts 16:31, spoken to the jailer by Paul and Silas. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you know, I'm building something, and you're going to have to believe me. God told me this. This is Preacher Noah. God's judgment is coming. You guys have been living in wickedness, not just every other day, but continually. But I want you to know, God still loves you. But God's about to send some rain on this earth, and he told me to build this boat over here. No idea what a boat is, but I know God is good, and I know God is true, and whatever he's telling me, I'm doing it because I decided that a long time ago, and I'm going to build this ark, and if you'll follow me, you'll be spared. Why would people be spared for following Noah? Because Noah was following God. He was preaching what God told him to preach. What grace. These people, just like in our day, these people did not deserve to have their life spared. They were wicked sinners continually. Now, I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody in Noah's day. I'm just saying none of us deserve it, right? None of us deserve God's grace. But here we see God's grace on display. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. So it was a preservation of the people. It was a preservation of the faith. Look what it says in Ezekiel 14:14. It says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. God will preserve those who walk in His way. By sparing Noah, God preserved the faith for us, for future generations, of which, if you're saved today, this is an important event. Now, there's a lot of other important events, but this is one of them, because he was spared for the preservation of the faith. Letter C. Preservation of the gospel. I've kind of covered this one already, so we'll quickly do this, and our Sunday school time will be up. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It was a preservation of the people. It was a preservation, because obviously they were the only ones alive after the flood. So, you know, Grandpa Noah, way back there, generation after generation, but figure, hey, those are the only people alive post-flood. So it's a preservation of the faith. But lastly, praise the Lord, it was a preservation of the gospel. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah. What? You know, I just like that. Wouldn't that be, if we could just have that said about our life. That's how we lived our life. By faith. Too many times I live my life by sight. I've got to see it to believe it. Right? That's not the Christian life. By the way, I guess you could say, I've got to see it to believe it. We've got enough here in God's Word to build our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I want stronger faith, I got to be in the book more. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's in verse. That's not in verse 6. That's another verse. That's another good one. By faith, Noah, being warned of God in a dream, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he, Noah, condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. As I said a few moments ago, the ark is a clear picture of salvation. So clear. It's an Old Testament illustration of biblical salvation. Look at 1 Peter 3, please. First Peter 3. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. We see the love of God in his long suffering. God was patient with even those who chose not to believe. But the Bible tells us that there was one door. One door to enter the ark. Turn to John 10, please. There was one door. This was God's way. By the way, it's always God's way. One door. Look at John 10. Let's read the first four words together of John 10, verse 9. Ready? Here we go. I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. You want to be saved from the judgment. God told me to build this ark, and we got a door right here. All you have to do is go right through the door. We're going to go in this way. We're going to be in the ark, and we're going to be free. We're going to escape the judgment of God. Just enter in the door, and you'll be saved. You'll be safe. You'll be saved. It's the same message we have today in 2019, only it's not to enter into a boat. It's to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's still the door. If we enter in through the door, we shall be saved. If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us, we shall be saved. Wow, what a promise. God remembered Noah, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. God remembered Noah, and it says in verse 8, of chapter 1, verse 8 says, chapter 8, verse 1 says, and God remembered Noah. We learned yesterday in discipleship that God is all-knowing. The word we use for that is a big word called omniscient. It means that he's all-knowing. We can't put anything past God. We can put it past, we can try to fool man, but we can't fool God because God's all-knowing. It says God remembered Noah, Genesis 8, 1, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. What a journey that would have been. I mean, that's not part of the lesson, but that would have been an amazing journey in that boat, the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The water started to go down. God brought Noah's journey of faith to a safe and wonderful end. You know what? If you're saved today, it's a life of faith. Amen? Faith. And someday, our life of faith is going to come to a wonderful end. Look, death for the Christian is wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, yes. Someone dying, I'm not saying it's wonderful when someone dies, but death for the Christian is wonderful because we're in heaven. That's the end of our journey. Our faith becomes sight. No more do we have the robe of the body of flesh holding us down and all that we endure. No, that's a wonderful end to the journey. And when our earthly journey is through, God will remember us and bring us safely to heaven. One more passage of scripture. Quickly, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. The journey to Ararat. What a great picture we see here. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Our world is in love with themselves. Yeah. The world is all about pleasure. I'm talking about the philosophy of the world. That's what it says here. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah... I mean, it was business as usual. I wonder what it was like. And again, I'm not trying to... act like I would have loved to have seen people being judged. But can you imagine that? It was business as usual. And I wonder what happened when... That's the shutting of the door, by the way. And I'm sure it was a lot louder than that. Or, I don't know, whatever. Whoa. know something? You know, when I came to work today, I noticed something different. You know, every day I've been walking by that crazy Noah, madman Noah. But something different today. The door was shut. Did you see that when you came to work today? You know, maybe they were having a meal, or maybe they were, whatever they were doing. It just, when I read this verse, I just think it was just, everything was. No, I didn't notice it. Well, when you go home tonight, on your way home, hey, just don't go by and see old crazy Noah in that boat. The door's closed. And then I've always wondered what it must have been like when the rain started. The first time it had ever rained, we believe. Oh, God had continued to, God, what God had provided for the earth, but from below. And all of a sudden, from above, water began to fall, just as Noah had said. I take no glee in that, by the way. Those people had every opportunity to be saved just by getting on the ark. Today, we have the same message. Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. Master. Savior. Jesus. Like the fragrance after rain. We live in days like Noah lived. Wickedness is lived in front of us continually. What do we do? Do we pack up our bags and go home and wait for the coming of the Lord? No, we don't. We take this book right here and we say this: I'm determined to do everything God wants me to do. I'm determined to follow the commandments of God. And what do? We just obey God. And when God gives us opportunities, we tell people, hey, do you know Christ? Are you ready for death? I ask people that sometimes. Are you ready for death? I said, I'm not morbid, but you know what? My afterlife is going to be a whole lot longer than my physical life, meaning my eternal life. And we're going to live eternally somewhere forever. The journey to Ararat for those on the ark ended safely. The journey for those in Christ ends safely.